Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of all our lives be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. So there's this human tendency for us to live in our own little bubbles, going about our daily routines, taking care of our own little things of our own. And it seems like the world teeters between those who seek to protect their own little world and those who dare to risk moving beyond the safety of our bubbles with compassion and care. Years ago, Matthew West wrote the song called My Own Little World that was just sang so beautifully just moments ago. It resonates perhaps even more today than when he wrote it as an anthem of encouragement for us to get out of ourselves and our own little world. Listen to some of the lyrics. I never gone hungry, always felt safe, always got money, some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet, and my own little world population, me. I try to stay awake during Sunday morning church. I throw a 20 in the plate but never give till it hurts. I turn off the news when I don't like what I see. Yet it's easy to do when it's population, me. But what if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? Well, if there's a greater purpose, I could be living right now outside my own little world. As I'm thinking about getting outside our own little world, I came across these pictures, and I wanted to see if you could help me out a little bit by trying to guess what they are. Any thoughts? What was that?
Bread.
Bacon. All right. Almonds. All right, let's go with our next one. Go ahead, Dan. There you go. Battery. All right, what about this one? Orange. Good job. I got that one. All right, the next one. Rope. Shoelace. All right, this one. Celery, right. Heard it over there, yeah. All right, what is this one? This one's a little harder. A knife. All right, this one. All right, go ahead. Snickers. Aha. All right, this one. See if anyone gets this one. Tape dispenser. There you go. All right. This one. Getting warmer there. All right. All right. This one's hard. Okay. All right. This one. Soda can, got it. Very good. All right, see if anyone gets this one. Oh, good job over here, crayon. All right, last one here. All right, let's do it. Raisin. But as I was thinking about, like, looking at these pictures, you know, we can get so focused on our own stuff, and when we do, everything seems so much bigger than it actually is. You know, our problems seem larger. We kind of get focused on all of that. And so if we aren't placing things in the right context, you know, we need to be able to move it out and to be able to see things in a larger perspective outside of our own little world. We need to move beyond our little world to remember that we are called to be the part of the body of Christ and being the hands and feet of Christ in this this frightened and hurting world. That one, we're going to be focusing on a phrase of the Matthew West song each in the coming weeks. This week we're going to be looking at Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Let me read that whole phrase that he has in his lyric there. He says, Father, break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me open hands and open doors. And put your light in my eyes and let me see but my own little world is not about me. Not about me. So when I was in seminary, I actually had a mentor who would lead, when he led in a group of prayer, he always included his prayer somewhere, the prayer to pray something like this, break our hearts, Lord, for what breaks yours. And when he prayed, you know, I would get a little nervous and kind of get this uneasy feeling because I'm not sure if I wanted God to break my heart for what breaks, you know, his. I didn't want enough God, I wanted God to answer that prayer in my life. You know, things are a lot more comfortable here in my own little world, you know, paying attention to my little stuff, you know, rather than having God break my heart for what breaks his. There's so much pain and hurt in the world, isn't there? And it can be so overwhelming. Of course, I'm perfectly fine and okay with God answering that prayer in your lives, right? And praying that, and, you know, kind of as we think about that. But it's a dangerous prayer when we think about it. It takes a lot of courage for us to pray it. Yeah, as our hearts are broken open to all the pain and allow all the pain to flood in. You know, we have a God that allows his heart to be broken by the world. We have a God of compassion. Psalm 86 says, God is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Lamentations 3 says, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. We have a God that looks on the lowly and lifts them up. He is moved by compassion. And we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion for those needed healing. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw his friends weeping at the grave of Lazarus. Jesus was moved with compassion for the crowds when they were hungry. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the crowds like sheep without a shepherd. Time and again, we see Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion. It means with passion. You know, it's our prayer and our task. As God's heart is broken open, so we're calling ours to be. You know, one day a student asked anthropologist Margaret Mead for the earliest signs of civilization in any culture. He expected to hear something like clay pots or a fish hook or a grinding stone. Instead, her answer was a healed femur. A healed femur. And Mead explains that no healed femurs are found in the law of the jungle. Survival of the fittest reigns. A healed femur shows that someone cared. That someone that had to do the injured person's hunting and gathering until the leg healed. The evidence of compassion is the first sign of civilization, she said. In a similar case, I think that what our gospel lesson is stressing this morning is that compassion is a sign of being a Christian or a follower of Christ. As Christians, our identity is grounded in our beliefs, our faith. Being a Christian requires more than just simple affirmation. We have to conduct our lives according to those beliefs. We must take time to, you know, exercise our faith as we worship God and we pray and we study the scriptures. But being a Christian also requires that we manifest our faith outwardly as we seek to continue Christ's work in the world. Christ brought salvation to the world. But it's hard for us to understand the power of Christ's salvation in our own lives if we live day in, day out in our own little worlds. Jesus teaches us that God's reign is characterized in the present, not by powerful works and miracles, but by love, by deeds of love and mercy and compassion. If we cannot share freely and fully as Christ did, that indicates that in our relationship with God and the world is not as healthy and whole as Jesus' triumph over the cross makes possible. Means that we don't fully understand the magnitude of God's love. Loving those for whom Jesus gave his life, particularly those who are undervalued, is a primary expression of our love of God, of our experience of God's love for us. We have to give something of ourselves, something of our wealth, our comfort, our sweat, and our tears, just the way Christ did. And then I believe, I know, that we will experience fully the power of Christ's love working in our lives. This is what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple. We love those who probably can't give in return. And when we do that, it's not to earn the goal of earning God's love or anyone else's, or to make, you know, sure that we are considered righteous at the end of time. We give as an expression of the love of God that is inside of us, bubbling up, spilling over, and flowing out. When we live a life of compassion, serving the needs of people in the world, you know, there are two gifts that are given. The one gift is the one that satisfies that practical need that the compassion shows. The other gift is that it opens a window to God's love and grace in the world, where we experience the inbreaking of the kingdom. We experience Christ's real presence with us in a very real way. A story is told about a little boy who wanted to meet God. He knew it was going to be a long trip when he to where God lived, and so he packed a backpack with some cupcakes and several cans of root beer and started his journey to meet God. When he got about 3 blocks, he saw an elderly woman sitting on a bench watching the pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his backpack. He was about to take a drink of his root beer when he noticed the lady looked hungry, so he offered her a cupcake. She gratefully accepted it with it and smiled at him. Her smile was so wonderful that he wanted to see it again. So he offered her a root beer as well. Once again, she smiled at him, and the boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon eating and smiling without saying a word. When it started getting dark, the little boy realized that he was tired and he wanted to go home. So he got up to leave, and he came back just a few steps, and he turned around and gave the woman a great big hug. And she gave him the biggest smile ever. When the boy arrived home, his mother was surprised at the look of joy on his face. She asked, "What has made you so happy today?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." Before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile in the whole world." Meanwhile, the elderly woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her husband was stunned by the look of peace on her face. And he asked, "Mother, what has made you so happy today?" She replied, "I ate cupcakes in the park with God." Before her son could reply, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." So have you seen Jesus lately? Jesus likened himself to a shepherd who separates his flock of sheep from the goats they're grazing the same pasture. The sheep receive the place of honor and inherit God's kingdom. Jesus says that whenever you give food to the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick or those imprisoned, they acted in kindness toward Jesus himself. Just as you give it to the least of these, you've done it to me. What we discover that in God's judgment here in this parable, as we look at God's judgment, doesn't depend on the amount of knowledge that we acquire. Christ does not ask anyone about their creeds or to state their beliefs, but instead, what have you done for the least of these? When have you offered up your heart and allowed it to be broken by the needs of the world? I think part of the challenge of offering our hearts to be broken is that we can also become paralyzed and overwhelmed by the magnitude of the hurt, pain, and suffering of the world. There are times that when we become so overwhelmed by it, we'd rather just be numb and stay in our own little worlds rather than continuing offering up our hearts for that. Out of college, I served as a young adult missionary through the United Methodist Church. I served in Tucson, Arizona for 2 years there. And while I was there, I worked at a community food bank and in several different areas. In that community, 1 out of 4 children was living in poverty at the time. I worked directly with children who would fight to get off the bus first so they could get in line for school breakfast because they hadn't eaten anything over the weekend. I still never forget the little girl who told me when I was working with her in a Sunday school lesson one time for something else that she wanted to go to heaven because she heard that people weren't hungry in heaven. My heart was broken. And what could I do in the midst of all this? I was overwhelmed by it all. And in praying about it and struggling with it, God brought to me my memory a story that I had heard long ago. It may be familiar to you as well. A man was walking along the beach one day and saw a starfish. Thousands of starfish had washed up on the shore during a storm, and the tide was going out, and they were all going to die. A little girl was running to and fro in the sand, throwing the starfish back in the water. The man asked, "Why are you doing that? You can't possibly save them all. What difference does it make anyway?" The little girl reached down again and picked up another starfish and threw it back in the ocean. She smiled and said, "It made a difference to that one, didn't it?" That's what we are called to do in our acts of compassion, that we are called to continue to do the little things that make a difference. Continue to move forward and to share God's love with the world. Compassion is meant to stir us to action. The goats are not condemned for doing bad, but for doing nothing, for retreating into their own little worlds, not responding with compassion. A relationship with God is not a matter of just having faith, but of doing. When our hearts are broken open, God's grace and love can flow in powerful ways in and through us. We ask people to think about what breaks the heart of God, what breaks their heart in the world. And then we ask people to submit pictures. We ask the congregation to submit pictures of hope, of things that heal the brokenness in the world. So let's take a look. The church. That is what it looks like to give hope to a broken world, to respond to the needs with compassion and sharing God's love. It looks like the church. It's when we are being the church. If we take time to survey the Bible, we would find a reoccurring theme that the righteous, the folks who are doing the will of God, are those who care for the poor, the widow, the child, the afflicted. Today, as we celebrate All Saints Sunday, we are remembering those who have finished their course in faith that now find rest for their labors in an eternal home with God. And our reading from Hebrews reminds us that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, right? And we are surrounded by this great cloud of people that have gone before us. In the previous chapter, chapter 11, there's this great roll call of the Old Testament saints who are recited. We are reminded of the faithfulness of heroes like Abel and Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, and Samuel. As many others who did marvelous things for God. And the whole purpose of reminding people of those faithfulness, the folks of the past, is to give us strength and to understand what faithfulness looks like in the present. This great cloud that these witnesses surround believers like a crowd in a stadium. I have this wonderful image of all the saints just cheering us on to victory. But I might suggest not only are they cheering us on, but we're also looking to them, the inspiring witness that they have left, how they allowed their hearts to be broken open, to love and to care with compassion and grace in the world. to run the perseverance, the race that is set before us. Their legacy reminds us that the race is not always easy. In fact, sometimes it can be really difficult. But it is always worth it. The stories give us hope and strength. They remind us of our purpose, of who we are and whose we are. So may we be bold to pray, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. May we be prepared for God to move us outside our own little world, to be a saint in the world, and to share his love with all that we meet. So may it be. Thanks be.